Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness.
Dear viewing audiences, this is the third session of the Message of the Cross. I will continue explaining our last two sessions, dealing with what kind of entity God is. First, God is the creator of all things. Human beings and all things did not come to existence by chance. They were designed and created by God the Creator. Secondly, God is I am who I am. Nobody gave birth to God or created Him, but He existed by Himself from before the eternity, and He will exist throughout eternity. Thirdly, God is omniscient and omnipotent. God is able to do even the things that cannot be done by human ability. God knows all things about the past, present, and the future. I explained up to this point in last two sessions. Today I will tell you about the fourth aspect of God, the author of the Bible. I hope you will certainly believe that the Bible and God's Word are true through today's message. I pray in the name of the Lord that in your belief, you will obey and practice God's Word and receive all the blessings promised in the Bible. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when you come to church, everyone receives a bit of the Bible. The way of salvation is clearly written in the Bible. It explains why God created human beings, how He leads human history, and about the beginning and the end of human cultivation. It also clearly tells us about heaven and hell, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the duty of men. When you believe and practice these things, you will gain salvation and life. Then you will gain the qualifications to enter the heavenly kingdom. There are countless books in this world, but only the Bible can give salvation and life to man. Then, who wrote this Bible? The Bible consists of 66 books as a whole, 39 books in the Old Testament, and 27 books in the New Testament. It is known that total 34 people recorded the Bible, 26 people for the Old Testament, and 8 for the New Testament. For example, Genesis was recorded by Moses, and the Ecclesiastes by Solomon. Isaiah was recorded by Isaiah. The New Testament were written by people like the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, and Judah, and the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are named for their recorders. It took total 1,600 years for the Bible to be recorded, 1,500 years for the Old Testament, and 100 years for the New Testament. The Bible is the collection of books written by 34 people over a period of 1,600 years. But the author of the Bible as a whole is God. As said before, there were 34 writers, but they were not the authors, but ghostwriters. Let me give you an example. Let us say, a mother who is living with her elder son wants to write to her younger son who is living apart. This mother tells her eldest son the contents of the letter for him to write it. Then whose letter is this? Is this a letter of the eldest son since he wrote it? No, it isn't. Although it was written by the elder son, the contents were from the mother. In the same way, the content of the Bible is the Word of God. God moved those who were appropriate in His sight and had them write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. About this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Isaiah 34:16 says, "Look in the scroll of the Lord and read. None of these will be missing, not one will lack her mate. For it is His mouth that has given the order, and His Spirit will gather them together." Although there are many writers of the Bible, the whole Bible never conflicts with itself, having consistency as if it were written by one person. It is because it was written by God, the Almighty, through the works of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible is recorded by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you must also interpret it with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If you interpret with human knowledge, there will be misinterpretations. 2 Peter chapter 6, chapter 3, verse 16 says, "He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people, namely, those who do not stand on the rock of faith, distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction." Today there are so many people who fall into destruction in this way. You can just believe the Bible as it is, but there are many who teach in opposite way. God tells us to cry out in prayer. Men of God in both Old and New Testaments cried out in prayer, and even our Lord cried out until His sweat became the drops of blood. But some people say it is wrong if you cry out in prayer or if you pray in tongues. They speak against God's word. So it says, people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. If you do not interpret the Bible by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but with human thoughts, you will understand it differently than God intends. You will fall into destruction. If you interpret the Bible with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to realize that the verse match one another. Let's say I am preaching with the title Faith. Then with all the matching mates in both Old and New Testaments come out together. For how many hours can I deliver the message with the title Faith? I can preach even for 10 hours or 50 hours. Why? If you begin to mate each verse of the Bible, it'll keep on matching one another to explain the whole thing. So with one title, Faith, I can tell you everything about faith and also salvation. So I can even preach for 50 hours or even for 100 hours. It's because all the mates. It is as said, none of these will be missing, not one will lack her mate. Just as beads must be threaded to become a necklace, each verse is completed through the mating with the verses that completement and make it perfect and complete in its spiritual meaning. Let me give you an easy example. Acts chapter 2 verse 21 says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But with only this verse, we cannot understand the will of God about salvation completely. So if you say, you will be saved just by calling the name of the Lord, With this verse alone, you misunderstand the Bible. You input wrong information in this way. As said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You will not enter the heavenly kingdom just by calling Lord, Lord. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We cannot meet the condition of salvation only by calling on the name of the Lord. Therefore, Romans chapter 10 verse 10 says, For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It talks about what faith is. We have to believe in heart. We shouldn't just hear the word and keep it as knowledge only, but we have to believe in heart. So, when we believe in heart, we'll be justified. Faith, just as knowledge and faith in heart, are completely different. If you believe in heart, your deed will follow. You live by the word, in the light. With your deed, your faith will be perfected. Your heart will be cultivated with spirit. You will cast off all forms of evil and become sanctified. You will become a true man of God who keeps God's commandments. This is to be justified. Because you cast off all evil and become sanctified, you become justified. That's why it says, For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Those who believe in heart like this will be justified when they confess with their lips, Lord, I believe, you are my Savior. Then they are saved. Namely, only those who have been justified by believing in their heart will be saved by confessing with their lips. You will not be saved just by knowing in your head and saying, Lord, I believe. What then is to be believed? James chapter 2 verse 14 says, What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? They say they have faith, but they do not live by the word of God. They do not keep God's commands. They don't live in light. Then will this kind of faith save them? Our Lord says no. Those who are justified by believing in their hearts will be followed by the evidences of their deeds. If you truly believe that Jesus died to forgive your sins, actions will follow as you live according to God's word. Since you love God and the Lord, who gave His life for you, you'd not want to hurt God's heart and you should naturally begin to cast off sins. Also, if you truly believe the love of the Lord, you will love your brothers as yourselves. You will not hate, envy, judge, condemn, or seek your own benefit, but serve, sacrifice, and help the needy to show the evidence of your faith with deeds. But the deeds are not only outward displays. Romans chapter 3 verse 28 says, For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. No matter how much you practice the truth, if you don't do it with faith, you cannot be justified by deeds alone. Your heart should become holy because you believe in the Lord, and your deeds must come from the holiness of the heart as complete deeds. Therefore, to believe in the heart means to make your heart holy from which holy deeds can come. Namely, it is to circumcise your heart. That is why the Bible tells us to circumcise our heart, to take off the skin of our heart. When a man circumcises his heart by believing in this way and confesses the name of the Lord with his lips, he will receive salvation. If you did not know the meats or complements of these verses, you might misunderstand the truth, thinking, I'll be saved only if I accept Jesus as my Savior, or I'll be saved even though I live in sins if I just believe in heart. Of course, if you believe in your heart, you will not live in sins. But people say they believe in their heart, although they only believe with their knowledge, because they do not know the truth. If there is no need, it is not believing. If there is no deed, it is not believing in one's heart. It is only knowledge in the head. So in this case, you will keep on committing sins, and consequently, you will not gain life, but rather go to destruction. Likewise, to know the will of God correctly in each verse, you have to know the meaning verses. This way, you can completely understand the correct spiritual meaning. Viewing audiences, the Bible is the Word of God, and all the words in it are true. This can also be testified to throughout history. You can see in the Old Testament that the history of Israel, the historical events and people, and the places and customs are very realistic. Also, as I mentioned last time, there are many prophecies in the Bible, and each of them has been being fulfilled. For example, Luke chapter 19, verses 43 to 44 says, "The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is the prophecy by Jesus about the destruction of Jerusalem. About 40 years after this prophecy, around 70 AD, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by General Titus of Roman Empire. The process was just as Jesus had prophesied. Roman army built an embankment around the city wall. After they conquered the city, they brutally killed the children and destroyed all the buildings, not leaving any stone on another. In addition to this, there are prophecies about many historical events, and most important of them are the prophecies about Jesus. To fulfill the way of the salvation, which is the main subject matter of the Bible, the Savior had to come to save mankind, who are all sinners. So, God gave detailed prophecy in many places of the Old Testament about Jesus who would become the Messiah, His birth, ministry, sufferings, and resurrection. When the time came, as God has promised, He sent Jesus to this earth. The New Testament records in detail about Jesus fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament. Let us review some of them. The first is about the birth of Jesus. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God tells us that the Savior would come among the people of Israel. When He cursed the serpent, He said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Here, woman spiritually refers to Israel. It is obvious for a man to be born of a woman. The reason why God still says it is because there is spiritual meaning in it. Revelation chapter 12, verse 5 says, "She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And a child was snatched up to God and to His throne." It testifies to Jesus, who came through a woman, that being the people of Israel. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah," and Bethlehem is located near Jerusalem, and it is a small town. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Namely, he was born of God, as prophesied. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, in the stable of a lodge in Bethlehem. Also, after Jesus was born, King Herod ordered all boys under the age of 2 killed in an attempt to kill Jesus. But at that time, God moved Jesus to Egypt through the dream of Joseph. After King Herod died, God called them back to Israel through another dream. In the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 prophesies concerning this saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So if you go to Egypt, there is a place where Jesus took a refuge and was raised when he was very young. There's a church of refuge. Jesus was there for some time, and by the dream of an angel of God, he came back to Israel. He went to Nazareth and grew up there. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he rode on a donkey, as prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It is said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Also, as said in Psalm 41, verse 9, "Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Judas Iscariot, who was receiving the bread of God's word at the closest distance, betrayed and sold Jesus. Judas Iscariot, who was in charge of the money bag, sold Jesus. So the Bible refers to him as "my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread." It does not say "my disciple," but "my friend." So when Judas Iscariot sold Jesus, he kissed Jesus as a sign. At that time, Jesus did not say "my disciple," but "friend, do what you have come for." As said in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12, "If you think it best, give me my pay, but if not, keep it." So they paid me 30 pieces of silver. Judas Iscariot sold Jesus for 30 silver coins. As prophesied in the Old Testament, he sold Jesus for 30 silver coins. In addition to these, many places in Isaiah, Psalms, and Zechariah prophesy in great detail how Jesus would suffer, in what kind of tomb he would be buried, how he would resurrect from the dead, and how he would ascend. Likewise, many prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament were fulfilled in the New Testament one by one. Not only the Bible, but also history testifies to Jesus. Namely, the AD with which we say this year is 2005 AD was started with the birth of Jesus. If we say with the year 2006, it means 2006 years have passed since the Lord was born on this earth to save us. We have our era, Anno Domini, from the moment of Jesus' birth. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6 says, "There are 500 people who witnessed the resurrected Lord." It says after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of them are still living, though some have fallen asleep. What does this mean? When Apostle Paul wrote this book of the Bible, more than half of the 500 who had witnessed the Lord's ascension were alive, and some of them had fallen asleep. We say fallen asleep about the bodies of believers who died and went to heaven. So some of them had fallen asleep. For example, James, a disciple of Jesus, was martyred. Some had fallen asleep like this. Through these messages, through these witnesses, the resurrection of the Lord has been made known all over the world. Up to this day, the fact that the words in the Bible about the Lord are all true and the words of God is spread throughout the world. Also, those who hear and believe these things can meet and experience God, the author of the Bible. When they believe and practice the word of promise given by God in the Bible, they can experience works of God who keeps His promise and guarantees His words. Viewing audiences, the Bible prophesies about the signs and the world situation during the last days before the Lord comes. It also prophesies about our future things, including the seven-year Great Tribulation, World War III, and the Millennium, the Judgment Day, and about heaven and hell. The Bible also tells us in detail how we, who are living in this kind of flow of history, can receive salvation and blessings, and how we can get to the heavenly kingdom. For some people, although they profess their faith in God, do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. There are some others who say they believe the Bible is the Word of God, but do not completely believe the words of the Bible. So, when the Bible does not agree with their thoughts or to their benefit, they will not act according to it. The Bible is certainly the Word of God, which is completely guaranteed by God. Therefore, to those who believe in the promises in the Bible and practice them, God blesses them as He promised. For example, Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes. There is nothing impossible for believers." Mark chapter 16, verses 17 to 18 says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well." God's word clearly says, everything is possible for him who believes, and these signs will follow. What kind of signs? They will drive out demons in the Lord's name. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. This means they will break up the synagogue of Satan. Also, they will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well. In the Bible, you can find men of God both in Old and New Testament did not die of a disease. The Bible says Moses' eyes were not weak even at his age of 120. He was healthy, fulfilling God's words, and God called him. And these signs follow those who believe. Our members have true faith, so these signs follow you. When our pastors and workers lay their hands on the sick and pray for them, they are healed. They are healed of even serious diseases, even transcending time and space. Through handkerchief prayer, these signs follow all of the world. Why, if you believe in the Bible, these signs will follow. These signs don't allow because there is a problem with one's faith. If you truly believe, signs will follow just as it is written in the Bible. So you will heal diseases of both yourself and other people. Isn't this true? That's why Hebrews chapter 10 tells us to have true heart and perfect faith. If you circumcise your heart to have a spiritual true heart and perfect faith, it means you have gone into spirit. then you will have perfect faith. Those who have perfect faith will be followed by these signs. These signs will follow those who believe, and you are the witnesses. These signs follow our members of Mamin. As said, everything is possible for those who have perfect faith. Even the signs of God's power can be performed. Also, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 says, He said, If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. The diseases God brought on the Egyptians symbolize all the diseases of this world. For I am the Lord who heals you. God is our Father, and He is God the healer. Even if we have a disease, He heals us. Then why would He give us any disease? So, we have to know God and believe in Him properly. As said, if you stay away from sins and keep God's commands, no disease will fall on you. If you have a disease, you know the reason. You know what commandment of God you violated, or what kind of works of flesh you committed, or if you still have a disease. Although you didn't commit a sin, there must be a reason. I feel sorry when I see some young members. They keep the whole Sabbath, give proper tithes, also attend Friday all-night service, attend Daniel prayer meeting, and work faithfully for the kingdom of God. Then, when they begin to date somebody, their faith cools down. They miss Friday all-night service. They stop praying. They spend time like that for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, half a year, and a year. Then God cannot but turn His face away. They changed. Their faith cooled down. They lost the first love, and they became lukewarm. God surely said, He would spit them out if they have lukewarm faith. In the book of Revelation, God will turn His face away from them. So they are not protected by God anymore. They get serious diseases that the worldly people will get. Only after they become helpless, they come to repent. They repent that their faith cooled down. They were not faithful before God, and they didn't do their duties, and they committed the works of the flesh. Then they receive prayer. But even though they receive prayer, they must repent from the depth of their heart. They loved God so passionately, but their love changed and cooled down. How can their faith and love cool down only because of a boyfriend or a girlfriend who is a mere creature? Their souls have to be prosperous. They should prepare themselves as the brides of the Lord and go to better dwelling places in heaven. But they are rather going the way of hell. How much they are angering God. So they have to tear their heart and repent thoroughly with tears. You shouldn't tear it with a knife or something. They should tear their heart and turn away completely. You can come and receive prayer after you turn away completely. Then the Lord will heal you immediately. If you just turned away from the depth of your heart, you will be healed just by one prayer. But without turning away fully, if you just write or just say with lips that you are repenting, even with prayer, you won't be healed because you didn't turn away completely. Even if you are healed, you won't be healed fully. God will heal you only as much as you turned away. If you truly turn away and repent thoroughly of your faith cooling down, your first love cooling down, leading a lukewarm Christian life and not being a faithful before God, not performing your duty but loving the world and falling into the world, and then come to receive prayer, you'll be healed just by one prayer. Even if you get a disease by not living according to God's commands, you can be healed after you break the wall of sin against God. So even when you receive a prayer from a powerful man of God to be healed of your disease or to solve your problem, you first have to repent. Some of you say, you certainly repented and turned back, but you are not healed by one prayer. It is true blessing. Why, God refines you and lets you turn completely so that you will hate the root of evil from the depth of your heart. God is giving you a time of refinement so that you will come out as pure gold and complete sanctification. So if you have turned from your heart, you are thankful either way, whether you are healed immediately or not. After you repent deep in your heart and break the wall of sin, you can receive true faith from above. Our members always see, hear, and experience these words of God are all true. For example, Deaconess Jung Ah Lee of Nisi Orchestra in our church found a problem with her little daughter, Hannah, in June 2002. At that time, Hannah was 4 months old. She could not sleep due to high fever, and her legs became weak and shaky. She was diagnosed with a tumor in her hip joint. Her hip joint had an inflammation that was badly infected. The doctor said if the infection spreads around the body, along the veins, she could die within a week due to blood poisoning. To make it worse, she was too young to receive surgery. And even if she received surgery, there was a strong chance that she would be disabled afterward. The deaconess was heartbroken seeing her daughter suffer and decided to rely on God and left the hospital. While praying for her daughter, she realized it was her fault that her daughter became ill, and she began to repent of her sins. She repented deep in her heart for having her faith cool down, not praying, not being faithful in God's kingdom, not being thankful to God, and not living according to God's word. Then, with a peaceful mind, she came to me and received my prayer. After the prayer, her daughter, who could not sleep crying, went to sleep peacefully. She soon gained strength in her legs and was able to move. About a month later, through the MRI picture, Deaconess Jung Ah Lee was able to see that her daughter was completely healed. The doctor said she would have disability even after surgery, and without surgery she would not live. But she is growing up healthily to this day. Seeing these testimonies, you can realize that the Bible is true and that God attests to His words of promise in the Bible. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and viewing audiences, in the 3 sessions through today's, I explained about who God is. God is the creator of all things. He is I am who I am. He is omniscient and omnipotent, and the author of the Bible. Of course, there are many other ways to explain Him. God is light, love, the judge of the final judgment, and our Father who loves you and me. The more you read the Bible, meditate on it, and act according to it, the more things you will realize about God and surely meet the God, the Father of love. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Some people say, Where is God? If there is God, let me meet Him without even seeking God. Meet God? They don't even love God. God will love you when you love Him. God will meet you when you diligently seek Him. So it is ridiculous to say these things without even seeking God. If we truly love somebody, we would want to do what that person wants us to do. To love God and to seek Him is to believe in His Word, the Bible, and keep His Word. Then God will love you. He will give answer to your prayers and meet you saying, "Here I am, I heard your prayer." I hope you will certainly believe in your heart that the Bible is the Word of God and try your best to practice the commands in it. I pray in the name of the Lord that God will love, meet, and bless you who are doing this and lead you to New Jerusalem in the eternal heavenly kingdom. I will pray for all those who are sick. Place your hand on sick parts and infirmities of your body and receive this prayer. If you are not ill, place your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. The work of the Almighty God transcends time and space. He will also work according to your faith. No matter where you are, when you receive this prayer in faith, you will surely experience the astonishing power of God. Hallelujah, the Almighty God of love. Lay your hand on all your children, on all GCN viewers who receive this prayer on television. Lay your hand and manifest your work that transcends time and space on every viewer who receives this prayer in faith in every corner of the world. Give each of them the faith by which they can believe and drive out all the power of negative thoughts and doubts. Drive out all trials and sufferings. Scorch by the fire of the Holy Spirit and cleanse with the blood of our Lord from head to toe the five viscera and the six entrails, each joint and all nerves, tissues, and cells. Manifest the most high power of creation. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, bacteria, and weaknesses, go away. All contagious diseases, go away. All terminal diseases, endemic diseases, and newly discovered diseases, be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed, be strengthened. Let there be healing of gastric cancer, lung cancer, uterine cancer, intestinal cancer, and skin cancer, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, heart diseases, lung diseases, all kinds of women's diseases, hypertension, hypotension, diabetes, skin diseases, and inflammation. May polio, paralysis, arthritis, and herniated disc be healed and made perfect. May the pain from lumbago, headache, and neuralgia disappear. May all after effects from a variety of accidents be cleansed and made perfect. May cold, flu, fatigue from sickness, and thyroid diseases be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Epilepsy, autism, depression, nervous breakdown, and all kinds of mental diseases go away. May all darkness be driven away and let there be joy and peace in their hearts. Father God, by the most high power of creation, may all that is weak be made perfect and whole again. May all that is paralyzed become loosened and may the crippled walk and jump. May the dimmed eyesight be brightened. May those with troubled hearing hear well. May the blind receive sight. May the deaf come to hear. May the mute begin to speak. Father, bless those who are unable to conceive, rejoin broken bones, and make perfect and whole all burned parts of the body.
Cleanse by the fire of the Holy Spirit those who suffer from addiction of narcotics, drugs, toxicants, and poison. May the dead and dead nerves and cells revive. May all darkness be forced away, and may all evil spirits be driven out. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, go away. May all their messengers be also driven out. May all the power of darkness, evil and wicked spirits, dishonest and crafty spirits, estranging and deceiving spirits, be driven out. May all chains of injustice be loosened, darkness go away. May the light come. Father God, strengthen their spirits as well as their flesh. Give them the strength to call out to you. Give them the strength to throw away their sins and become sanctified. As each of their soul gets along well, may all in life go well with them, answer the desires of their hearts, imploration and prayer. Add faith, hope and love, and may their families also come to hear and believe in the good news. Protect them from accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead prosperous lives without hindrance. Protect all God's children at home, work, and business with the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit and the eyes of the Lord that are like blazing fire. Bless them whether they come in or go out, and bless them to lend to many people but borrow from no one. Give them wisdom and understanding, and allow them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give all ministers and workers of the Lord the ability to carry out the tasks you have given them. May there also be great revival at each church. Lead your children so that they may give glory to you, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do in life. Manifest your work so that their lips may testify, I have met him, I have experienced God, I have received his answers, and I have received God's blessing. Father God, I thank you. May you alone receive all the glory. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.